We passed the little cosmetic shop and the dead Okinawan covered by the door, and approached the bus station on our left. A gentle breeze was blowing. Only the clanking of a piece of loose tin on the ruined bus station roof broke the silence. If I blotted out the distant rumble of battle, our surroundings reminded me of walking past some deserted farm building on a peaceful spring afternoon back home. It seemed like an interesting place to take 10, explore the bus station, and eat our ration bars. We had saved time by meeting the Amtrak, so we could stop for a while. The harsh snapping and cracking of a long burst of Japanese machine gun bullets zipping chest high in front of us sent my buddy and me scrambling for cover. We dove behind the concrete ticket booth and lay on the rubble-strewn concrete, breathing hard. God, that was close, Sledgehammer. Too damn close. The enemy gunner had been zeroed in perfectly on his elevation, but he had led us too much. The bullets ricocheted and whined around inside the burned-out bus station. We heard the tinkle of glass as the slugs broke windows among the burned-out buses. "Where the hell is that bastard?" asked my buddy. "I don't know, but it's probably a couple of hundred yards away from the sound of the gun." We lay motionless for a moment, the silence interrupted only by the peaceful, lazy clanking of the tin in the breeze. Cautiously, I peered out from behind the base of the ticket booth. Another burst of slugs narrowly missed my head and went clattering through the building after striking the concrete alongside us. "That bastard zeroed in on us for sure," groaned my buddy. The ticket booth in front of the building was surrounded by an open expanse of concrete in all directions. The gunner had us pinned down tightly. My buddy peeped around his side of the narrow booth and got the same reception as I had. The enemy machine gunner then fired a burst across the top of the concrete portion of the booth, shattering what was left of the windows in the upper part of the booth. We were sure that the Nambu gunner was up on the south side of the railroad embankment. "Maybe we can get back among them buses and out of sight and then slip out of the rear of the building," my buddy said. He moved slightly to one side to look behind us, but another burst of fire proved his plan faulty. "I guess we'll have to wait it out till dark and then slip out of here," I said. "Guess you're right. We sure as hell ain't going to get out of here during the daylight without getting hit. He's got us pinned down tight. Sledgehammer, after all the crap we've been through, damned if we ain't between a rock and the hard place. God damn it to hell." The minutes grew into lonely hours as time dragged by. We kept a sharp lookout in all directions in case other Japanese might slip in behind us while we were occupied by the machine gun. Toward late afternoon, we heard a burst of M1 rifle fire over in the direction where the enemy gunner was located. After a few minutes, we peeped out. To our delight, we saw a group of 4 or 5 Company K Marines striding along the road from the direction of the road cut. "Look out for that Nambu!" we yelled, pointing back toward where the fire had been coming from. A grinning Marine held up the machine gun and yelled, "Rack 'em up! You guys okay? The gunny figured you'd run into trouble when you didn't come back and sent us out to look for you." By mid-June, familiar faces were scarce in Company K and in all the infantry units of the 1st Marine Division. On 1 June, the company lost 36 men to enemy action. 10 days later, 22 men left with immersion foot and other severe illnesses. Despite mid-month replacements, Company K moved toward its final major fight with about 100 men and 2 or 3 officers, only half of whom had landed at Higuchi 2.5 months earlier.